We're so excited to bring back Lindsey Crosby of Locked On MLB Prospects. We get into it, all things Cubs prospects, right now.
Our Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Cubs. Alongside Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy. Pleased to be with you for a Wednesday episode and pleased to welcome you to a crossover episode with Lindsey Crosby of Locked On MLB Prospects. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Sam and I are lifelong fans, taking our passion into a discussion with you on all things Cubs. Lindsey, great to have you back. We had you on in August as our first ever, not only Locked On guest, but just guest, period. And we're both very excited to talk some Cubs with you.
Listen, you guys are killing it. And this system and these prospects are killing it. And it's like, it is quite an exciting time. On Thursday is when I dropped my Cubs farm preview for 2023. And I ran a little long because there's so much fun stuff to talk about with this Cubs system. I love these guys.
I'm so happy that you're back on, because you're really, really good at what you do. And I remember before we had our initial, growth, the people that were sticking and watching with us were just monster fans of yours, because a lot of people want to hear about these prospects. So let's jump right into it. My first question would be, Lindsey, just a general question would be, where do you have this farm system? You don't have to give us a specific number, but I remember last time you were on, you and correct me if I'm wrong, somewhat around like a fringe top 10 system or getting there. Where do you have them now, and what has changed since the last time we talked to you?
I've definitely kept it in that top tier, right? That first 10 teams. The issue is, like, the reason it didn't go higher is you have some of the players, and Brennan Davis is a great example of this, who through injury and things outside of their control haven't necessarily hit the developmental milestones that you would expect.
Sure.
And so the top end talent, I mean, the ceiling of Pete Crow Armstrong is a gold glover, all-star candidate in center field. The ceiling of Kevin Alcantara, if he hit everything, is potential MVP candidate. But there's development left to do with Davis, with Alcantara, with some of these guys. And so it's still a top 10 system. And part of that is the improved pitching depth. I like the pitching depth. I like the addition of Cade Horton. It's not one of the top four or five systems because you still have a little bit of a developmental gap on some of your top guys, your Davis, your Alcantara, and then obviously Horton being brand new to pro baseball. And not having a long track record of pitching in college, you've got that as well. A little longer development curve there. So
good.
Still sure. Top 10 though.
Yeah.
You know, the top 100 list, Lindsey, are rolling out, and you know, there's multiple publications that do that. And across those lists, depending on which one you go to, there's five players in the Cubs system that have been listed in at least one of those lists. And there's a few that have been listed multiple times, and five is a lot, quite frankly. You have PCA, Brennan Davis, Kevin Alcantara, and then popping up this offseason have been Matt Mervis and Owen Casey as well. I know we're going to get to PCA in a minute or two. Do any of these five players, and maybe we'll exclude PCA for now, or someone else in the Cubs system have that gear in them to really rise to a top-level guy?
I think I've already mentioned him once, but Kevin Alcantara is a guy, obviously.
That's your guy.
That's my guy. Deserves to be up there. The ceiling is great. I do. Daniel Palencia, to me, is primed to have a fantastic year. I really like, like, it's so hard to teach velocity, right? The fastball sits 100, runs it up to 102. He's added a changeup. I'm very excited to see that. And a trend that you'll notice when you listen to my farm preview is a lot of the pitchers in this system seem to be missing a changeup. It's something where you look at Ben Brown, the changeup is not great, needs to improve. Cade Horton doesn't necessarily have one. Caleb Killian's changeup needs to get better. And so seeing Palencia, hearing the reports he's added a changeup, makes me think, okay, one, if he learned this with help from the team, there's your development of some of your other pitchers that we're looking at. But then also the velocity, the fastball slider combination is very, very good. Give him that change. I've heard some rumors that he's working on a cutter as well. And to me, he immediately becomes a middle, you know, number three or potentially number two starter once he harnesses those tools. And that's something that's just really hard to get for a lot of teams. I usually cap out guys at like a number three. Like, this guy could be a middle to rotation option. But if Palencia's changeup is as good as I think it's going to be, and if he's learned that cutter like I've heard, he could be a number two. And that's very, very exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just really a high-level job breaking that whole thing down. Transitioning, Lindsay, you know, a lot of what I've read and what Cub fans have read, and you, not from you, but just other prospect stuff, is, hey, the thing holding this Cubs system back is that lack of a top-tier, five-star, elite prospect, like the Alvarez kid with the Mets or something like that, right? And what I want to ask you is, why isn't or why can't PCA be that guy? I tweeted at you today about the 80 grade. For people that don't know at home, I'll let Lindsay kind of elaborate. That's very rare and very special for somebody that young to be basically graded as a perfect defensive player that early on in his career.
That's wild.
I just think, you know, Matt and I talk so often on this show about floor and ceiling, floor and ceiling. And to me, PCA right now already has like 2.5-3 war type floor because of how great he is defensively. Mm-hmm. And then this year on the farm, he showed that he could hit both sides. So my question is, why can't he be that guy? Why can't he be a top five prospect in baseball at the end of 2023? What's the holdup?
So there are people that think the reason that he's not quite the five tool guy yet is the power. I'm a little more bullish on his power than a lot of other people are. It's something he's been called a contact hitter. He's been given that label of, oh yeah, he can just, you know, spray line drives from foul pole to foul pole. But if you watch when he gets into a ball and he pulls it, I mean, he had 10 home runs. He had 16 home runs last year.
Yeah.
And I think 12 of those were pulled. It's something where as he starts to lean into that, and that's a situation too where Myrtle Beach and South Bend, you've got some park factors as well. But I think the defense is coming around. The power is coming around. Right. The question and the concern that you have whenever you're looking at a young player who's adding that size, adding that weight, and getting the power is
defense. Yeah.
Is anything going to back up? Is the speed going to back up? Is the defense going to back up? And like you said, 80 grade is the best potential grade. So if you're not familiar, for the listeners,
Andrew Jones.
Yes, on the scouting scale, it's 20 through 80. 50 is average. So if somebody's 60, that's considered to be plus. They're one standard deviation better than your average player. 70 is considered to be elite. And it's very rare to see anything above a 70. I can think of right now, off the top of my head, I've been doing these farm previews, maybe 4 80 grades that I've seen.
Jeez.
And I'm halfway through these farm previews. And two of those were foot speed. So 80 grade defense is, like you mentioned, Andrew Jones is generational talent on defense. And that's not just a practice and technique. That is, you just naturally have this instinct. It is, you don't have to think about it. I guarantee you, when the ball is hit, PCA is not thinking about where should I go to get this. It's an instinct. It's natural. It's a reaction. And when you watch the reads, routes, reactions that make up your defensive play are all exceptional. And just, I think if the power continues to come in and the defense doesn't drop off, I think he is a top five prospect in all of baseball. The question is, does that happen in Double A? A lot of those parks that he's going to be playing in are pitcher's parks. And so that's the question, is what does his power look like when he's down in Mississippi? Playing against the Mississippi Braves, or when he's in Montgomery playing the Biscuits? That's the question.
Right. So real quick, Matt. So that answers my follow-up of, 16 home runs last year is actually a pretty good total. But what you're saying is this will be a great test this year to see where his power's at.
Going to Double A will be a great test because that is very much a hitter's league. I'm sorry, a pitcher's league. The ballparks are adjusted for the pitchers. And also, that's typically where you'll see a jump in difficulty level as far as the pitchers you're facing. The biggest jump outside of starting in the major leagues is going to Double A. This will be a great jump. I actually have a trip already planned to scout PCA in person the first week of the season. I've already talked to the team and gotten press box access to for the game. So I will definitely report in on a live look on PCA and how his power plays in the Southern League after the first week of the season.
Yeah, and we didn't mention
this. I'm planning a trip there as well. They're going to be loaded.
We didn't mention this to you, Matt, but I'll be going with Lindsay.
Oh, my gosh. I do want to go this summer. So,
yeah,
it looks like you're going to beat us to the punch.
If things go the way that we're hoping and expecting to, you may want to go pretty quickly because he may not be in Double A for an incredibly long period of time.
From your mouth to God's ears.
And he
spent 44 games in low A and that's it.
Oh,
so,
boy.
I mean, he's a fast mover through the system.
So maybe only a couple months he'll be there. Perhaps in 2024 and beyond, he'll be on some MLB futures list for Wednesday's episode. We went over all the new lines and props on FanDuel and we're so excited that we're now powered by FanDuel, the new sports betting partner for Locked On. They're the number one sports book in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers can join right now and get started with $150 in free bets. When you place your first $5 bet, just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. For example, this weekend, Lindsay, you have quite possibly the four best teams in football still alive in the NFL playoffs, and there's extremely close lines right now.
Yes, as of Wednesday night, the Eagles are 2.5-point favorites over the 49ers, the fighting Brock Purdy's. Whereas the Bengals are 1-point favorites going to Kansas City. It is the first time in Patrick Mahomes' career that he has been a home underdog. Very exciting.
Man, exciting.
Going to be great. Going to be great football on Sunday. Two games, 3 o'clock, 6:30.
I can't wait.
And this is all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of Locked On Cubs. Welcome back to a crossover edition of Locked On Cubs and Locked On MLB Prospects. Sam Olber and Lindsey Crosby from Locked On MLB Prospects. Great transition on the other side, because the Tennessee Smokies is really the affiliate at Double A there that I'm locked in on right now. Let me just list off the projected starting rotation because, and perhaps I'm overusing this word lately, the rotation is unreal right now. Jordan Wicks, Ben Brown, DJ Hertz, Daniel Palencia, and Luis Devers. Is this the best rotation in all of the minor leagues?
Ooh, it is up there. It depends on where Philly puts Andrew Painter, but it is definitely up there because the Phillies have that top three of McGarry and Abel and Painter. But no, this is one of the best 1-5s in the entire minor leagues. And what I love about this grouping is I mentioned earlier, you've got guys who need changeups, right? Jordan Wicks has a very, very good changeup. Was probably the best changeup in the draft in 2021. So you have a guy with a very good changeup working with guys like a Ben Brown who need a better changeup. And so I'm excited about the development that they can have together. And I like the idea of keeping these guys together so that they can help each other get better. And then get them to the bigs filter them into the bigs, you know, maybe not all at the exact same time. So they're not all coming arbitration eligible at the exact same time and free agency right. at the exact same time, but let them stay together. Let them make each other better.
For so long, the Cubs didn't develop pitchers. Do you right. feel like from your side of the glass, they have enough people that throw hard? Because that's always been the headline.
So the thing that I've noticed is the Cubs have leaned into a couple things when it comes to pitchers. Specific pitches and pitch strategy is a thing. So
slider.
They've leaned into the gyro sliders. They've leaned into the cut right fastballs. And they've tried to do things where if we have a guy who doesn't have overwhelmingly amazing stuff, I mean, Daniel Plenty has amazing stuff. That's fine. But if you have a guy who doesn't have, you know, amazing velocity, Caleb Killian sits mid-90s, which is fine, but it's not exceptional. You right. can go and you can get that fastball to ride up in the zone and play above its velocity. So the Cubs have kind of said, okay, we can't necessarily teach velocity, but we can understand what type of pitches in today's baseball game are less likely to get hit or to get hit hard, and we can teach our guys those pitches. We can teach them the gyro sliders. We can teach them a cut right fastball. We can get them to throw stuff up in the zone. We can add on a two-seamer so the guys can get ground balls. The changeup, getting changeups to be better, is the last piece of that puzzle, and so I'm hoping this is the year we see an explosion of changeups inside this system.
So what contact does changeups usually produce?
Exactly. And it's something where the changeup for the most part is kind of the least effective pitch. So it's not, you don't have to have a changeup, yeah. but you need something to help against lefties. If you can teach an effective two seam, that can take the role of a changeup. A lot of these guys have added two seamers. So right. it kind of feels like the Cubs are figuring out what works well with each pitcher and their arm speed, their supination, some of the things they're good at, and finding pitches to match. And I like the fact that it's customized for each pitcher.
Yeah, that's Adbert Ausley's problem. That's why he'll be a bullpen pitcher this year, is you know, struggling to get out left-handers. Mm-hmm. So Matt listed out the AA rotation. Mm-hmm. I'm going to list out the big league rotation, which is going to look something along the lines of Stroman, Tyone, Steele, Smiley, maybe Sampson, who knows, okay? Have you ever seen such a discrepancy, Lindsay, in philosophy where we're talking about Hurts, hard thrower, swing and miss? You just talked about Palencia. And then at the big league level, it seems like they're almost just experimenting with these guys who throw in the low 90s that get a bunch of ground balls. Have you seen that with other organizations, the difference in philosophy just even from the minor leagues up? Or I guess my question is more like, what do you think the Cubs are trying to accomplish pitching-wise? Because it feels like they're really focused on this minor league, this development, the gyro slider, the fastball. But at the big league level, their pitchers are nothing like that.
I think it's something where, and you kind of look at how a lot of these guys were acquired. They've all been in the last couple of years, these prospects, you know, Cade Horton draft pick last year.
Right.
Ben Brown was the David Robertson trade to Philly. Caleb mm-hmm. Killian was the Chris Bryant trade. And so it feels like you're separating the two groups. You're saying here are the big league guys who are established pros. They do what works best for them. The new guys that come into the system, we're going to teach them the way that we want to do things, with the thought process being eventually most of your big league rotation will be guys that we brought in and we taught the way we want to do things. And I can see the merit of, I'm not going to take an established veteran, 31-year-old Marcus Stroman, and ask him to do something different. Right. And with the explosion of salaries that we saw this year, and we saw how much it costs in free agency to get a top-of-the-line guy, right. I understand the idea of, we're going to do what we can afford at the big league level, but we're going to put a premium, a focus on getting these top prospects, getting these, whether it's trade, whether it's draft, whatever, and then doing the best job we can to develop them, because that is more affordable than trying to pay a frontline starter, trying to pay a Justin Verlander or something sure. like that.
Sure. One of those starters, Lindsay, that could potentially break camp with the big league team is Hayden Wisniewski, who pitched 30 plus innings at the big league level to round out the 2022 season. And And he showed really well, you know, not only from a competition standpoint, but stuff and velo, and he looks like the real deal. Yet I don't see Hayden Wisniewski on any list. He's not apparently anybody's radar, sonar, but he's really good, and he's proven so at the highest level of the game. Mm-hmm. He's still a prospect because he got a small sample with the Cubs. Could we be in a situation where Hayden Wisniewski is one of the more overlooked or underrated guys in the game?
So there's the thing that we can't really quantify yet, can't fully quantify, is what deception in your delivery does for your stuff.
Sure.
I've talked to people around baseball, both inside and outside of teams, trying to get some sort of metric that can take in all of the, you know, like Wisniewski, look at him.
Justin Steele.
But like just low slots, weird arm actions, crossbody finishes, all that kind of stuff to measure in what something does. Wisniewski's sample in Chicago, 33 innings, ERA of like 2.2. It is, for a lot of people, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough of a sample to override what you saw from him in the minors, whether it was with New York or whether it was with Chicago in the minors. Like in AAA, he had an ERA in the threes. The strikeouts less than 9 strikeouts per 9. I happen to love Wisniewski because, one, he generates a ton of ground balls. He throws a two-seamer as well as a four-seamer. The two-seamer in, it has a lot of run really late. And so it looks like you're going to barrel this ball, and then it comes in and busts you in the hands. It induces a ton of weak contact ground balls. The slider is not a typical gyro slider because he learned the Yankees. They have a very horizontal breaking sweepy slider, but he's got really good stuff. He does need to get a better changeup. He does have a little bit of platoon issues as far as getting lefties out because of the lack of a great changeup, but really good competitor. I think he's a better pitcher than he gets credit for. I have him as probably the number 6 prospect in this system. A lot of places have him. I think Baseball America has him number 9 or number 10. MLB right. Pipeline's probably going to have him around 10 or 11. Whenever you don't throw incredibly hard, his four-seamer sits 94. His two-seamer sits 93, right. 94. You're usually going to be a little bit underrated until you can prove it otherwise. To me, the 33 innings, he proved it otherwise. But a lot of the prospect apparatus wants a bigger sample size than that.
Yeah, I mean, pitching's so tricky. Like, you know, for example, you look on the other side of the page with Caleb Killian, who came up and really struggled. That doesn't mean he's going to struggle all the time, just like it doesn't mean Wisniewski's going to be this great pitcher. You have to let it play out. But, you know, I agree with Matt. I like him. You know, he has some like off the statistics type stuff that we like, just mound presence and things like that. But my question that I have for you, Lindsay, and it could possibly be my last one, and it's my most important. So I would like you to put on your Cub hat. You're going to pretend that you're a Cub fan for one second.
I got a W on right now.
Yeah. You got a Cub hat on. You've been going to Wrigley since you've been 7 years old. Your favorite player is Mark Grace. Okay.
Okay.
Who, by the way, might have been more qualified to make the Hall of Fame than Scott Rolen, but that's neither here nor there.
Don't even get me started on Dale Murphy not being in there. Oh, man.
That's not even here nor there, Lindsay. God bless. Okay. Listen. I had a conversation with my dad yesterday, and we were talking about this because a lot of our listeners, you know, we're very focused on 2023. We want to put out a good product in 2023. Right. But I always try and tell our listeners it's still so important. And this, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, could quite possibly be the most important season for the developmental guys in the minor leagues throughout this retool or rebuild. So my question for you is this: give or take, if you're a Cubs fan, the Cubs go 81-81 this year. They're a 500 team. But PCA has another fantastic year and jumps into the top 10, 15 prospects in baseball. Alcantara takes a leap. Canario makes it to the big leagues by September, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to get in every single scenario, but you understand what I'm saying. They have a decent year. They show some improvement, but the minor league system jumps up, let's say hypothetically, to a top 6 system. Would you consider that a success for the Cubs? And then just emphasize a little bit how important of a year this is for the farm system.
I'm going to be watching that double-A rotation very, very closely, because the fate of that Tennessee team, the win-loss record of that Tennessee team, and how well they do run prevention is going to determine the success of the Chicago Cubs in 2025.
Wow.
So like, you can directly take the results you see this year, that those pitchers, that rotation, that is your next starting rotation, your core of the next competing Cubs team who is trying to win the division versus just trying to get to 500. Yeah. And so some of the moves that you've done, I love some of the moves you've done, like a Dansby Swanson. I don't necessarily love some of the moves you've done, like an Eric Hosmer.
Welcome to the club.
I want Matt Mervis to be up there.
Take my place on the show.
Yes. But it is, I would even, if I was a Cubs fan, I would even, if I had to pick one, I would rather the farm system get to a top five system than the big league team to get to 500. And the thought process for me is, if I'm a Cubs fan and we're teetering on the edge of 500 or not, when the trade deadline comes, I am perfectly fine to move a Trey Mancini, to move an Eric Hosmer, maybe to move an Ian Happ or somebody to get more prospects to continue infusing talent into this system. I'm of the opinion every single team that is not a candidate to win the division should sign multiple veteran relievers just to flip them at the deadline, because teams will pay way too much for a veteran reliever at the deadline.
Theo Epstein, so terrific at that for the Cubs' original rebuild.
Yes. So if the farm system, if Tennessee is a winner, then for the most part, I'm happy no matter what happens in Chicago. Because that is the core of the next contending Cubs team.
That's the answer.
Oof, if Tennessee's that important, I'm going to make sure I touch base with them like this week, because I want to make sure I'm out in front of that. One last thing then for you, Lindsay. You just brought him up in your last discussion here. Matt Mervis. I've listened in when the Cubs have made those recent transactions, and you've done segments on Mervis.
I've not been happy.
Yeah, you haven't. And, you know, he was, I guess, technically our second guest, Lindsay. You were first. He was second.
And you're third. And
we just had him on a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
And we're not happy either, quite frankly, because this is a player that hit over 300 across three levels, 30-plus home runs, almost 120 runs batted in.
Let me quantify this for you. You ready?
Yeah, please.
He led all of the minor leagues in extra base hits with 78. In 137 games, so better than one every other game. He led the entire minor leagues in RBIs with 117. He led the entire minor leagues in total bases with 310. And he was third in the minor leagues with 36 home runs.
And if you use the phrase service time, I'm walking off.
So then what determines his readiness for the big league roster? If not that performance, then what determines his readiness?
He doesn't know.
This, I wish I knew for a fact.
It's not spring training.
If I had to guess, I would say they are concerned, and this is just entirely speculation on my part, I would say they are concerned about the splits you see in his performance versus lefties versus righties, and they feel like it's more defensible for them to go get veterans, a lefty option with Eric Hosmer and a righty option in Trey Mancini, until they can make sure they are comfortable with where Matt Mervis is, and then flip one of those guys at the deadline. I'm not saying I think that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing I can really think of, unless it's kind of like Chris Bryant, where he just has to work on his defense a little bit more. You have the incentive of, if a guy is first or second in the rookie of the year voting, you get a draft pick. And so it may be something where, because of the struggles with lefties, they don't see him playing enough if he were up all season to get them a draft pick. And so because of that, they are probably going to conveniently wait until the Super 2 deadline to call him up.
And what is that?
It's not a set date. It's typically comes after the first month and a half of the season or so. It depends on how many prospects are on rosters to open the season.
Got it.
Because it's the first 22% of players who are promoted service time wise is your Super 2 amount. So,
man, are you good at what you do?
One of the best in the nation.
No, it's just so refreshing to see, you know, to see somebody that is doing what they're supposed to be doing, you know?
Absolutely. Listen,
tune into my farm preview if you want a 2-minute explanation about what a gyro slider is, because I just dove into it before I started talking about the pitching in the system. I was like,
sounds like
just
a sandwich I want with
is.
Tomatoes, onions, and a little white sauce. That's a
gyro URL. Slider could be a good band name.
Dibs on the band name. Dibs on the band name.
Okay. All right. Well, that was fantastic information right there from Lindsey Crosby. Thanks, everybody, so much for tuning in. Please be sure to subscribe to Locked On Cubs on YouTube and smash that like button as we make the push for 100-plus likes every episode on your favorite Locked On Cubs content. Shout out to the audio peeps, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google, Odyssey, and more. And you can drop us a text, 312-834-4634. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Now make your second Locked On MLB Prospects. We've heard about this show before. Host Lindsey Crosby, that's him, is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow, including the future stars of the Cubs. Check out his farm preview on Thursday as well, whenever and wherever you may be listening. Locked On MLB Prospects, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And I'll take Venmo of any denomination, Lindsey. For Sam Olber and Lindsey Crosby, I'm Matt Cozy. This is a crossover edition, Locked On Cubs and Locked On MLB Prospects.